Can you remain a Christian if you stay away from church on Sunday mornings? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled, Why Do You Go to Church? We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Mark Seyfried writes about his journey from being a Baptist seminary professor to becoming a Lutheran seminary professor. It's the free online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Lord, Lord, why do you not hear the cries of their children in the bondage of Egypt?
I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
That's a scene from the 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments. As Moses stands before the Lord at the burning bush, what do we, reading that account, learn about the holiness of God? Why is God's name so important? And why would Moses argue with the God of the universe when he is sending him to help deliver his people from slavery in Egypt? We're going to be talking about that very account in Exodus chapters 2 through 4 as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon with Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Tom, what do we learn in this account of the burning bush about the holiness of God?
God is so holy that we cannot approach him as we are. And so, symbolically, we need to have something taken away from us, particularly in the Lord's Supper. That would mean our sin. In this particular situation, God tells Moses, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And that reminds us that we're not to have Moses keep his everyday footwear on and defile the ground sanctified by the presence of God. And in fact, in Near Eastern culture, feet are especially associated with uncleanliness, and that can lead to shame. And so to take off his sandals is a way that God is reminding him Moses just can't appear before him as he usually is. He needs to follow the directions of God. Just like in the Lord's Supper, we never have the Lord's Supper in a worship service without the confession of our sin and then the absolution by the pastor.
So let's talk about whether or not we, and in this case we're talking about the Sunday school children, ever have the opportunity to stand in the presence of God today?
Yes, the Sunday school children stand in the presence of God actually when they're in Sunday school. And you're going to say, now, wait a minute. God isn't visible in the Sunday school. But remember, Moses complained to God, I'm not that good a speaker. How am I going to convince Pharaoh to do what you're asking? And God makes a point, you know, I created your mouth, and I can therefore use words that will do the purpose for which I intended. And therefore, in the church, the Sunday school teacher, the pastor, they are actually symbols of God speaking. God speaks through them when they speak the word of God in its purity and make sure that it's applied for the children properly. So anytime, for example, at home, that you're doing home devotions, as the head of the household should teach the children the catechism, one can say that through the father, if that's the head of the household at that time, that God is speaking to the children. And in fact, just 2 weeks ago, I baptized a 9-year-old boy in a worship service. He walked, because he was old enough, to go to the baptismal font And when we had his head lowered over the water, we baptized them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So to answer your question, children can come before God often, particularly in divine worship, or even in their reading of scripture or saying of prayers at home.
How did Moses get into the position where he is when God calls him through this burning bush?
Yes, what happened, he, of course, had been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. She had found him in the water, but she did not take him home immediately. Instead, Moses' sister said to her, "I can get a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you." And that happened. "And I will give you your wages." When the child grew up, that's verse 10 of chapter 2 of Exodus, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. So you can only imagine, as he's growing up, that his own mother is talking to him about who his true people are. It's not the Egyptians, but the Israelites. So one day, after he's grown up, he's been in Pharaoh's palace a while, he saw an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew, and it even says in verse 11, one of his people, referring to Moses. And he struck down the Egyptian, he killed him, hit him in the sand. The next day, he tried to get two Hebrews who were struggling together to stop fighting, and one said to him, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Moses became afraid and realized, as verse 15 says, when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. So Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to the land of Midian. Now, the Midianites, they were not part of the people of Israel, but the priest of Midian had seven daughters who came to fill their water containers, and shepherds were there to drive them away. But Moses stood up and saved them and helped water their flock. They came home to their father, Reuel, and he was wondering, "How'd you get home so quick?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock. Where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses, therefore, began to dwell with that family. And Reuel, the father, gave Moses his daughter Zipporah and gave birth to a son. Well, during that time, there was a lot of groaning on the part of the people of Israel in Egypt. And verse 24 of chapter 2 says, God heard their groaning and remembered his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the very next chapter, Moses is keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb. Guess what Horeb is? Mount Sinai. And then this is really important. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And we've done a lot of Sunday school lessons with you, Todd, that this is the way of speaking about the second person of the Trinity prior to his incarnation. Jesus is the angel of the Lord. And Moses saw this bush burning, but it was not burned apart. So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see what was going on. It says God called him out of the bush. And remember who that is. It's the angel of the Lord Jesus. And it is at that point he tells him to take the sandals off the feet and tells him, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." He's seen the affliction of his people, and he's going to ask Moses to go and take the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So that's how that came about with the burning bush.
Why does Moses argue with God over whether or not he should be sent to do this task?
Well, who wouldn't? First of all, Moses says, "I'm not a very good speaker. And second of all, how am I going to be able to convince Pharaoh? I know Pharaoh. I lived with him a long time. He's not an easy man to convince. And so Moses begins to make excuses. I mean, this is really amazing. I'm doing a new distinction that I heard of recently and read about. I'd like to bring it in right now. It's a distinction between, do you have a vertical or a horizontal relationship? Vertical relationship simply means that your relationship is with the true God. A horizontal relationship is you look around your environment, your experience, and make decisions on the basis of what is in your self-interest. A good example would be Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they heard God say, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then, leaving that vertical word, they listened to the horizontal word of the devil. Oh, God doesn't want you to eat of that because you'll become like God, knowing good and evil. So they began to believe in the horizontal. And this is exactly what's happening with Moses. God gives him a word from the vertical. He should have said, I'll go do it because you are God. He should have been like Abraham, who said, my wife's going to have a baby at over 65 years old. I believe it. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. When you're living on the horizontal, you try and become self-righteous. And therefore, you want to have a good reputation. And if you don't think that you have a good way of speaking, you'll say that to God. But God, once he decides that you're going to be his messenger, then your only response on the vertical level is to say, yes, let me do what I want. You know, Moses was a murderer, and he was, you know, really someone who therefore at this point was not believing God in the vertical. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul. When he was Saul, he was a murderer. And boy, he wouldn't believe in Jesus at all until that road to Damascus experience. And when faith came to help him understand the vertical, then he was able to do the horizontal. In other words, once you have the proper vertical relationship with God, and that means listening and believing his word and his promises, then you're able to work and live on the horizontal level, doing for your neighbor what God wants to be done, and God is working through you.
We're talking about Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapters 2-4. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Growing in Christ is the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House that I've often said is Christ-centered and cross-focused. Here's a bit of what it has to say pertaining to this Sunday school lesson. The same God who shows himself to Moses in the burning bush appears again on a new and deadlier tree. On this tree, he removes the effects of the curse from us forever. The thorns and nails of the tree cannot extinguish the burning yet unconsumed light of the world. Indeed, he perseveres even unto death and rises again so that we might know that by his becoming our curse, we are now eternally blessed. Just a little taste of what prepares the teachers to teach Sunday school in the Growing in Christ curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. They will send you a free sample you could see for yourself. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll talk about why Moses needs to know God's name. Can you remain a Christian if you stay away from church on Sunday mornings? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled, Why Do You Go to Church? We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Mark Seyfried writes about his journey from being a Baptist seminary professor to becoming a Lutheran seminary professor. It's the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And to mark the occasion, the Lutheran Witness is tackling ministry and mental health. Some articles focus on life in the ministry, others deal with emotional wellness generally, still others, including what are perhaps the most powerful pieces of writing in this power-packed issue, grapple with the complicated and often thorny relationship between the two. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacraments faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9 a.m. and the Divine Service at 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, our weekly conversation with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. We're talking about Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapters 2 through 4. The subject of God's name comes up, Tom. Moses does not feel equipped to go unless he is able to tell both the Israelites and the Egyptians who it is that sent him. Why does Moses need to know God's name?
Yeah, that is really important. God says, and it's translated into the English as, I am who I am. That's actually the name of God, which is really Yahweh. Because there were no vowels written in the Bible at that time, we're kind of guessing that the first vowel was an A and the second was an E, but nobody really knows. Because later on, when the Jews would read the Bible and came across the word Yahweh, they would change it to Adonai, and they had the vowels of Adonai over it, so they did not want to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, why would God say, I am who I am? This kind of reminds me of Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye wants to, he's got a date with olive oil, but Bluto, he wants to go out with olive oil. And Popeye says, no, you can't. I already have a date. Bluto says, who's going to stop me? And then remember Popeye's famous words, I am who I am. What does that mean? It means once I say something, it will be fulfilled. And I understand the I am who I am to mean I fulfill what I promise, because it's distinctly the command by God for Moses to go, that you shall serve me when you bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. See, that is a promise from God. So what's your name? I am who I am. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to fulfill what I promise. And he says, you know, this is my name forever. And he also says, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. By the way, when Jesus was arguing with the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, but they did believe in the first five books of Moses, Jesus quotes from the first five books of Moses to show them how wrong they are. He asks them, is God a God of the living or of the dead? And they say, well, a God of the living. And then he quotes this passage, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So therefore, they must be alive. Therefore, there is a resurrection from the dead. So Sunday school teachers can spend 2 hours on this lesson helping the children come to an understanding that you really want to have that vertical relationship with God because you have nothing to fear. And therefore, when you get commands to deal in the horizontal, you can always remember God's promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be there when you call upon him in his name. And that's what Moses soon learned. Although Moses did get his brother, Aaron, to help him out with that, as later on he got 70 elders to help him out with guiding the people through the wilderness.
What will be the role of the miraculous signs that God does through Moses, that he promises he will do through Moses in delivering his people?
God gives Moses three miraculous signs. One is the staff. He throws it on the ground, and it becomes a serpent. Then he catches it by the tail, and guess what? It returns to being a staff. Then the Lord says, put your hand inside your cloak. When Moses takes it out, it's like leprosy. God says, put it back inside your cloak. He takes it out, and it is restored like the rest of his flesh. And then there's a third one where, give me some water from the Nile, Moses would ask. He pours it on the dry ground, and the water you take from the Nile shall become blood on the dry ground. Now, that's going to be part of one of the plagues we're going to be looking at next week. But those are three signs. And the first people who see those signs is when Moses returns to Egypt and he talks to the elders. And those signs are given to the elders. And guess what? They believe. So it's kind of like we believe that Jesus is God, not only because he said it, but take a look at his miracles, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. So those become signs for those who are already believing in order to be assured that God is going to be keeping his promises.
When God identifies himself to Moses, he does say, I am who I am, and that's my name. He also says, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. That harkens back to the promise and the very various promises that had been made to those patriarchs. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. When God comes to Abraham and tells him that his aged wife, Sarah, at 65, is going to have a child, his name will be Isaac, and he will be a blessing to all the nations. We find out later that through Isaac will come the Messiah. And it says Abraham believed, and in the Old Testament it says, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And, of course, it wasn't for 25 years till Sarah was 90 that Isaac was born and Abraham was 100, but the promise was fulfilled. This is very important to understand. Christianity is the, how do you want to call it a religion? But if you say all of these faith things are religions, Christianity is the only religion where God fulfills what we need to do in order to be saved. Nobody is going to be going to heaven unless they are righteous, not in our own sight, but in the sight of God. And so today, we have a lot of people leaving the church because they want to be righteous in the eyes of others. It's called self-righteousness, like the Pharisees had. And that is doomed to failure. That's where you're dealing with a horizontal, and you want to make yourself look good to others. But the vertical is where God declares you to be righteous, not because you've improved your works, not because you're doing sinless good works here on earth, because it's impossible to do that totally, but because you now believe a promise. Nowhere in any other religion does believing a promise that God has totally saved you by his work, nowhere else is that found. Only in Christianity. And that's why God does use people like Abraham and Moses and Saul, who became Paul, to do his work. And that is something we need to get across to the children, that pastors and Sunday school teachers are not less sinful than anyone else in the congregation. We're all sinners, and it doesn't matter. One of my favorite Bible stories to show that you really don't have to have the ability to speak enthusiastically to convert anyone is, of course, Jonah. He gets swallowed by the fish. He then returns to Nineveh. And you can only imagine his preaching. It was not enthusiastic at all. It was something like, well, you better not sin. You better repent of your sins or else you're going to be in big trouble, etc., etc. The whole town is converted by an unenthusiastic individual. So Moses, to say that I don't speak very well, he's now looking at the horizontal, namely, how do I appear to other people? I don't have the ability to convince them. And God doesn't need that, because even when you unenthusiastically preach the Word of God in its purity, the Holy Spirit can take that, as he did at Nineveh, and convert people. In fact, you can remind the children that God did speak to them in their baptism. They may have been totally unaware of it. Just like an adopted child is totally unaware of their being adopted. But boy, do they begin to receive the benefits of that adoption, not only by new parents, but by God himself, as they learn about the gift of the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and all the blessed promises that God gives to them, because I am who I am.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you, Todd.
Rod Dreher is with us on the other side of the break, senior editor at the American Conservative. We're going to get his and a cultural perspective on the confirmation hearings for Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is the author of our book of the month for October, Reading Isaiah with Luther. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Learn how the conscience is a gift from God and how only through Christ can you receive a clean conscience in Reading Isaiah with Luther, the Issues Etc. book of the month, Reading Isaiah with Luther.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
A year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service. We still listen.
You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, anytime, day or night, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Amazon Echo, Google Home, and on the LPR mobile app.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.